This morning we started talking about the blood of Christ. And we started with Leviticus chapter 17 with the truth of the importance of blood. The Bible shows us in Leviticus chapter 17, and we'll work our way quickly through the morning message, on a portrait of the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 8 says this. It says, "And the priest, and thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be that of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood." And so we see verse 11, the truth of verse 11 come out, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The end of the verse shows us the truth of how important God's blood through Jesus Christ is on the cross. Because he said, "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." This morning we said there's an importance of the blood. The Bible shows us several verses about the importance of the blood. We said out of the 22 sermons that appear in the book of Acts after Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, out of the 22 messages in the book of Acts, all 22 are the same exact message: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross. And so we see, we talked about three different things this morning. We took a portrait of the blood of Christ, and we put it under the microscope of God's Word, and we're analyzing. And when we analyze the blood of Jesus Christ, it is perfect. The Bible says in John 8:46, Jesus himself said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" In John 18:38, Pilate said, "I find in him no fault at all." Paul said, "For he hath made him," that is God, "hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And Judas cried out when he had betrayed Christ, "I have betrayed innocent blood." We see that John says, "In him is no sin." In 1 Peter 2:22, "Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth." In Hebrews 7:26, we showed the verse this morning, "Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." All testimonies of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is perfect blood. It was able to be the perfect blood of Jesus Christ because he was born of a virgin. And he did not take on the Adamic nature that man has. Every person that has ever been born other than Jesus Christ has had their blood passed down from Adam all the way from the beginning. And because of that nature, we are passed into us a sin nature. And man is a few days born of a woman, a few days and full of trouble. And so we see that sin is prevalent and present in all mankind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we look at the blood of Christ, because he was born of a virgin, because he came from heaven, because he is the Son of God, we see that his blood is perfect. Number two, we say by application, when Jesus Christ's blood is applied, the blood is pure. When we said we symbolize at the Lord's Supper the grape juice as pure grape juice and not wine, because Jesus Christ's blood is pure. We understand that the blood of bulls and goats, listen to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 and 14, "For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh." So that's what was happening all of those years that they were sacrificing bulls and goats. All of those years that they were bringing their sacrifices, all it was flesh deep. All it was a covering of their sins temporarily. But until the day that Jesus Christ shed his pure blood, It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We are made pure by the precious, perfect, and pure blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18 and 19, the Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We can be saved today not only because the blood of Jesus Christ is perfect, but the blood of Jesus Christ is pure blood. We said by way of action this morning, when we see the action, what does God, Christ's blood do for us? We said that it is not only pure, perfect, it is not only pure, but it is also perpetual. That means it is always doing the job that it was intended to do. Brother Phil came up to me this morning after the service. He gave me a good illustration. Because I commented in Sunday school, I always look out the window after Sunday school and see how many folks are filling up the parking lot. And I think, I'm going to go after them for Sunday school, and I'm going to talk to them about Sunday school, and I'm going to preach at them about Sunday school because I see them pulling in right after Sunday school's over. And so I was looking out the window this morning, and I noticed Brother Phil's car out there, and it had these little trinkets in the windshield. And I said, Brother Phil, you got a bunch of toys in your windshield. I said, how many toys are in your windshield? He said, I think, what did you say, about 9 or 10 of them now? And I see little flower heads going back and forth out there. And I see a hand waving. And I see all these things bobbing their heads back and forth. And he came out and he said, you know why those always move? He said, they are always perpetually moving as long as the sun is present. I said, man, you know, that's a good illustration. Our sins are perpetually covered as long as the blood of Christ is present. Oh, your sin can never bob its head up on the surface. It can never rear its ugly head. I know people want to say their temper does that and this does that. But can I tell you, your sin can never do that. Sometimes the Bible says that the Satan likes to be the accuser of the brethren. Can I tell you, no matter what accusation the Satan makes against you, that the devil makes against you, it does not matter. Your sin is covered under the blood. It is perpetual. It is constant. It is always covering. It can never be unblotted. Your sin can never be unburied. Your sin can never be brought up from the deepest sea. It can never be brought closer because it is as far as removed as the east is from the west. Your sin is blotted out. And the Bible says it is blotted out again. I don't know what blotted out means, that it wasn't so blotted out in the beginning that it had to be blotted out again. But that's what God says about his blood. It is covered. It is in the deepest sea. Someone said, we have yet to discover the deepest part of the sea. I said, praise be to God, because if you get down that far, you're going to find my sins. It can never rear its ugly head because the blood of Christ is not only perfect, it is not only pure blood, but it is perpetual blood. And although they had to slay the goat again, and although they had to slay another oxen, and although they had to bring another lamb, and although they had to bring another dove, and although they had to come to the tabernacle again and again and again and bring more and more and more animals, and the high priest never stopped slicing the throat, he never stopped squeezing out the blood, he never stopped the altar fires from burning, the blood never stopped dripping over that altar, it had to be done over and over and over because it was temporary blood. But the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood on that cross, and you believe in a living Savior, and you trust him to take all of your sins away, not for 1 second since the moment you've been saved have you ever been unsaved. And you have the blood of Jesus Christ to thank for that, because his blood is not only perfect blood and able to do what it says it can do. It is not only pure blood and says it is what it is, but it is also perpetual blood. And it always is doing what it says it always is doing. May I say to you, number four this evening, what does the blood of Jesus Christ accomplish? I would say this. The blood of Jesus Christ is not only perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ is not only pure. The blood of Jesus Christ is not only perpetual, but the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for your sins and for mine is powerful. The Bible says in Revelation 5:9, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood." Do you realize the thing that connected you to God was not your good works? It was not your good attitude. It was not how much you read your Bible. It is not how much you were in church. The thing that connected you to God was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's powerful blood. And some of us would say that some in this room are more wicked than other people, or lived a more wicked life before salvation. And we understand what that means. We're not saying that I'm better than you. We understand that some people got saved later in life, and some people went off wandering away from their parents or from good teaching or from church, and they weren't saved, and they got saved later in life. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter if you were saved when you were 4 years old, 5 years old, or 6 years old, or 60 years old. It took the very powerful blood of Christ to connect you back to God, because it was sin that disconnected us from God. It was man's sin in the garden. That's why I love the song the young lady sang tonight. It was the sin in the garden that separated us from God. And God said, "I have a requirement. I require perfect blood to pay for their sins. I require pure blood to pay for their sins. I require perpetual blood that will always cover their sins. I require powerful blood, and it's not the blood of bulls and goats. It cannot do what it needs to do. It cannot go as far as it needs to go. It cannot wipe out what it needs to wipe out permanently. I need the blood of powerful blood." And the Bible says Jesus Christ stood up and connected us back to God by His blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Would you or evil one victory win? There's power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power. Wonder-working power in the very precious and powerful blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11 says that there are people who are overcomers. I preach messages on the overcomers there in Revelation. There'll be a certain group of people in heaven that will receive a special reward from God. And the special reward will become because they live their life in such a way that they came from a situation, or they came through persecution, or they came through martyrdom, or they came through a bad situation in their home, or maybe a divorce situation. And but by the grace of God and a miracle of God, they made it through that situation. And the Bible says they overcame Satan, the wicked one. But here's what it says. That they overcame the wicked one, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. I've heard people stand up and tell their testimonies, and sadly enough, they've taken all the glory for their testimony. I've heard people give testimonies and say, "I overcame this and I overcame that, and I used to be deep in drugs and I got out of that, and I've been sober this many days, and I've been clean this many days, and man, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps." And if you ever overcame anything, Revelation says you overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you, have access tonight, not only at salvation. Listen, at salvation He covered every sin that you ever did do, every sin that you will do, every sin that you will ever do in your entire existence of eternity, until the day you die. He has covered every sin. That is powerful blood to be able to do that. But the Bible says that same blood by which we are saved is the same power from that blood that we need to draw on a daily basis. We need to claim and name the blood of Jesus to help us through things. We need to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on the cross, keeping our eyes on the blood of Jesus Christ who died for your sins and for mine, not just to get through salvation and not just to say I punched my ticket to heaven, but to get through every single day and say, by the power of God, I can make it through this. I can come through this trial. I can come through this loss. How do you do that? How can you overcome? The Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Because that blood is a powerful blood. I'm talking about something substantial here. I'm talking about something that sometimes we say things in Christianity, we really don't understand it. We'll say things like, well, God's with me. What part of God helps you through? Well, Jesus has never left me nor forsook me. Then why do you keep leaving Him and forsaking Him? Because we say these things, but we truly don't practice these things. And the thing that can help you get through those things is keeping your eye on the payment He made on the cross for your sins. You don't want to disappoint God? Then look at His Son on the cross. If you don't want to disappoint your Savior tomorrow, then you remember what He paid for your sin. And that sin that you committed was covered by perfect blood. And it was covered by pure blood. And it was covered by perpetual blood. But my friend, it is covered by powerful blood. And you don't have to go down that road anymore. You don't have to do those drugs. You don't have to do those things. You don't have to go to that place. You don't have to say that word. You don't have to think that. Because you are under the very powerful blood of Christ. He has redeemed us by God. To God by the blood. It takes a lot of power to do that. See, false religion has always denied the blood and its power. How many of you have ever heard of Mary Baker Eddy? Ever heard of Mary Baker Eddy? She's of the Christian Science Movement. Anybody ever heard of the Christian Science Movement? How many have ever heard of Tom Cruise? Tommy Cruise. Woo! He would probably be the most famous Scientologist out there today. The word Scientology is coming out more and more. A bunch of crazy people, just to let you know. But people are escaping from Scientology and they're telling their tell-all stories. Tom Cruise got out of Scientology, or I think he's still in it and his wife got out or something. Anyways, bunch of crazy people. Mary Baker Eddy is the founder of Christian Science Movement. She said, the material blood of Jesus is no more efficacious to cleanse from sin, that means powerful to cleanse from sin, when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it was flowing through His veins. R.B. Time, just so you know, he was considered a great Bible teacher in Texas at a Southern Baptist school. He declared the red liquid that ran through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation. Of course, these teachers and many like them stand in complete opposition to the Bible that declares in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So I can believe R.B. Time and Mary Baker Eddy, or I can believe the very Word of God that says, listen, what I have is not only pure blood on my soul. What I have is not only perfect blood on my soul. What I have is not only perpetual blood, that from the day I got saved to the day I die, I'll be saved. But it is also a powerful blood. And it has everything to do with my salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What about God's blood through Jesus Christ and its acquittal? Say that the blood is permanent. To acquit is a heavy word. Brother Duane, I would say that acquit is probably more of a court term or a law term, right? It's a very, very prominent word. It has far-reaching meaning and extending from the past all the way to the future. Isn't that a great thought? Acquittal means all the way in the past and all the way in the future. So when somebody is acquitted of a crime, it's paid off, they're free, they're clear, they're absolved. Is that a proper definition? I'm checking with Dwayne here. I want to make sure I'm getting the proper definition here. How many have ever heard of O.J. Simpson? Why do we chuckle when we say that name? He was acquitted. Now, by the chuckle in the room is the same chuckle I have when I say that name. Because some people would say, well, I don't think justice was done. But it doesn't matter what you think. He was acquitted of murder. And what does that mean for O.J. Simpson? It means any crime in the past that has to do with those murders and any crime or future accusation that might come out about him in the future is null and void when it comes to those charges because he has been acquitted. Well, I don't believe that justice was done, and I think this ought to happen. And listen, what goes around comes around, and God has a way of making those things come about. And he's spending 33 years in prison for an armed robbery he did. I think somebody got justice in the end. But don't you and I know that we're guilty? I know we like our cliches in Christianity. We say things like, well, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Well, preacher, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. And then you meet another sinner, saved by grace. They've been acquitted of all of their crimes. They've been acquitted of every sin they've ever done in the past and any sin that will happen in the future. They have been acquitted by the blood of God. They have been acquitted by the blood of Jesus Christ, because not only is that blood pure, and not only is that blood permanent, or not only is that blood powerful, and not only is that blood perfect, and not only is that blood perpetual, but that blood is there whether you like it or not. It is acquitted them, it is permanent. You understand what I mean by this statement, that I'm not being facetious. If Adolf Hitler in that bunker in 1940, whatever it was, would have asked Jesus Christ to save him and was convicted of his need of a Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ shed blood on that cross, and he trusted in Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart and all of my being, Adolf Hitler would have been saved and acquitted of every sin he had ever committed. Now, we understand the shock value of that statement, but when we follow it through to its end, do we really believe that? Because if we don't believe that, it is because we do not trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation. It is because we believe in how good we've been since we've been saved. But the blood of Jesus Christ is permanent for whoever trusts in His name. When they call upon the name of the Lord, they are saved from every sin from their birth until the day they die. And to be absent from their body is going to be present with the Lord. Not because of their works, and not because of their sins, and not because of how many times they came to church, and not because of how well they did, and how many people they told about Jesus, and how many offerings they gave, and not how good of a business they had, and not how good of a ministry they had, and not how many sermons they preached, but it is all due to the very blood of Jesus Christ that is permanent and has acquitted you and I. Listen, we ought to be shouting amen tonight. Well, you're not Adolf Hitler. Praise be to God. You didn't go that far. And the only thing that stopped you short of being a worldwide leader of terror is the grace of God. Well, I have my grandma to thank. No, you have the blood of Jesus Christ to thank. Well, I want to thank my parents. No, you want to thank the blood of Jesus Christ. The permanency and the purity and the perfection and the perpetualness of that blood and the power of that blood that saved you from a life and an eternity of hell. May I say this, when we appraise the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, when we take an appraisal, the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe, is precious. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:19 says it this way, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, we are saved. Recently I read of a story of a very wealthy old man who had a collection of Van Gogh and Monet paintings. His only son shared his father's interest in the rare paintings. They traveled around the world buying these paintings wherever they could find them. One day the son enlisted in the army and was placed in the medical corps. In a severe battle while carrying a wounded soldier to safety, the son was seriously wounded and eventually died. The mother was already passed away, and the news of the tragedy devastated the old father. He grieved in loneliness for months. One day a knock came at his door, and when he responded, he found a young man with a package. The young man explained that he was one of the several soldiers that the son had carried off the battlefield to safety and saved his life. Knowing of his interest in paintings, he had painted a picture of the Son and presented it to the Father. The painting was not rare, but it was very precious to the old man because it was a good resemblance of his Son. The man moved a very valuable painting from the mantle and placed the picture of his Son in its place. Hour after hour, he would sit in the rocking chair across the room and gaze up at the image of his very beloved Son. When death came to the old man, the art collection was put up for sale by auction. Hundreds of collectors came to bid because this man was famous and everybody knew about his collection. The auctioneer announced that the will stated that the picture of his Son was to be auctioned first. A moan of disappointment could be heard around the crowd. "Let's get on with the real paintings," one of them was heard to say. The Son's picture was held up and the auctioneer cried, "Who will give me $100? $50? I will give $25. Absolutely no response. A kind old gentleman in the back raised his hand and said, "Will you take $10? The auctioneer said, "Sold." "Good," cried the crowd. "Now we can get on with the auction." "Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the auction for today," announced the auctioneer. The crowd was puzzled and very upset. Then this statement was given. "The will declares that the Son's picture was to be sold, and the person who took it would get all of the rest of the paintings." The old man in the back of the room who paid $10 for the picture of the Son was suddenly amazed at the fact that now he owned all of the valuable paintings in the entire collection. My friend, when the person takes on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, everything about God is included. You might have been that $10 painting. People might not have given much for your life. People might not have said you were worth a whole lot in saving. But Jesus Christ died for you, just like He died for me, just like He would die for the president, just like He would die for anybody on the face of this earth. And when He purchased you, you got everything in God's collection. You are joint heirs with the Savior. I would tell you tonight that that makes the blood of Jesus Christ very, very precious. God's love is perfect. Christ's blood is pure. Christ's blood is perpetual. Christ's blood is powerful. Christ's blood is permanent. Christ's blood is precious. May I say lastly tonight, Christ's blood is protective. The blood of Jesus Christ is aggressive blood. It is protective blood. In Exodus 12, you'll remember the story of the Passover. The children of Israel were told to take a lamb of a certain age and without blemish. And they were told to take that into their home. And they were to care for that lamb for 10 days. And on the 14th day of the month, they were to take and they were to slit the throat of that precious little pure lamb. And they were to drain all of its blood into a basin. And they were to take a bundle of hyssop. And they were to go to the doorpost of their homes. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost. And the Bible says that if the death angel came over their house, may I say to you that no one is exempt. The death angel that night came over the houses of Israel just like he went over the houses of Egypt. And the firstborn of any home where the blood was not on the doorpost, the firstborn was slain by the death angel. What an awful night to be a part of, unless you were under the protective blood. Brother Allen, could you imagine that night in Egypt? If you were proud as a man and said, "I don't need no blood of no lamb." If you decided that you weren't going to drain all the blood, if you decided you weren't going to eat the flesh and you weren't going to take the bundle of hyssop and put that blood over the doorpost. You say, "I'm a hard working man. I don't need that. I'm a proud man. I ain't stooping to do that. I love my family too much. We're not going to have a bunch of yucky stuff on our door." The Bible says that every person in every home, the death angel came for the firstborn, son or daughter. And unless you were under the protective blood, your child was taken. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 that the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We still speak of being under the blood. The judgment will not fall on those who will place their faith in Christ and accepted Him as their Savior. If you have not gotten under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, I beg you to do that before the death angel passes over your life. Do you get the picture today? Have you seen the portrait? Have you been to the real tree? I'm thankful as Christians that we are thankful and we make sure that we practice as Christian that it's an empty tree. We don't crucify Christ over and over again. But it does count good in our lives, and it is good and it is worth it to sometimes think of that cross and to think of that scene, that horrible scene of the crown of thorns and the horrible scene of the mockings and the beatings and the false trial. It does do us well to think about the cat of nine tails that laid across his back and ripped open his flesh. It does a good mental picture to realize how he was shamed for your sins. How he sat on that cross. They laid his body down in that rough timber. And how they nailed his hands with spikes into that cross. And how they crossed his feet and they pounded that nail into his feet, right through the muscle of his feet. It does us well to remember that they picked up that cross, and as lovely as this cross is, in that day there would have been soldiers that would have picked that cross up and they would have brought it above that hole and they would have dropped it. So that the Bible says that every joint of his body was torn out of its socket. For the next several hours he would suffocate. And water would begin to build upon his chest and around his heart. And the blood would stream down his face into his eyes, burning his eyes and causing him to thirst beyond compare. That he couldn't even lay his head back because the crown of thorns were gashing so far that they were piercing not only his brow but his skull. I'm so thankful he's not still on the cross. And I'm so thankful he's not in the tomb. But our And Savior Jesus Christ Himself said to us, as oft as ye do this in remembrance of me. For it is He whose body was broken, and it is He who shed His blood. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, you are lost. You are going to die, and you will spend eternity in hell. No more sacrifices. No more bulls, no more goats, no more oxen, no more doves, no more lambs. I'll go. I'll pay for Matt Palmer's sin. Lord, if there's any way for this cup to pass over me, there's not. They're going to have to kill goats and bulls and calves and lambs the rest of the eternity, rest of time until eternity starts. And Christ, who thought it not robbery to make himself equal, made himself of no reputation, and obeyed even to the death of the cross. Why? So that you and I can be protected. Satan wants your kids. Satan wants your soul. Satan wants your marriage. Satan wants this world. He wants politicians. He wants this country. But guess what? No matter what else happens, he cannot have my soul. I am protected by the blood of Christ. I'm not protected because I'm a pastor. I'm not protected because I'm a man. I am not protected because I have good intentions. I am not protected by any of those things. I am protected by the pure and the powerful and the perpetual, permanent,